Portland City Council is now in session. So you please call the roll.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish. Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here. So this is pretty darn exciting. We're not only getting an award for doing really cool stuff, the award actually comes with money. I can't think of a better way to spend a bit of our afternoon. The Energy Trust Award we're going to receive highlights the potential we have to take steps to reduce the carbon footprint of our buildings. The 2009 Climate Action Plan identified the role of buildings as a contributor to carbon emissions and called for resources and incentives to residents and businesses for carbon reduction work in existing buildings. The Energy Trust Award we're recognizing today is an excellent example of how the city is working to reduce our energy consumption and environmental impact, walking the talk of our Climate Action Plan. And I'll turn it over to Brian.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, and thank you, Commissioner Novick. And I couldn't be more excited about presenting this, as you say, check and recognition all at the same time. And like I said, this recognition is going to go out to the good thinking and the tireless efforts of others who've actually paved the way for this. As you know, concern for energy management issues have been a particular priority for the city. Led by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the city has adopted climate, green building, and energy policies to support the reduction of carbon, energy, and waste. City bureaus have made significant facilities in its investment in terms of energy and water efficiencies over the past years with great success. As a result, we see better performing buildings with corresponding lower utility costs. While many buildings are performing well, there is still significant opportunity for improvement. Working with the bureaus, BPS, and other facilities, facility services staff, design, they construct, and operate city facilities to meet the functionality and service needs of its customers. Our objective is to contribute to the financial stability of the city by efficiently managing our energy use while maintaining a quality facility that is conducive to a good work environment. Energy alone costs facility services over $2 million a year, and other resources cost us over $500,000 for the buildings that we manage. Over the past 22 years, facility services has saved over $7 million from 47 large major maintenance capital projects. Cumulatively, we have savings of about $800,000 on an annual basis as a result of these projects, which are tracked on an annual basis through the city's Energy Challenge Program managed by BPS. Facility services continue to focus on better management of any energy and other natural and man-made resources. To improve energy efficiency for city building, facility services have developed and implemented a resource management program. This program involved developing, implementing, and tracking the compilation and analysis of utility consumption and cost data for city facilities. And one of the things I do want to point out, and Deb, I think it is, Wendy, who is not here, was instrumental in helping us to design this particular tool. And this tool, as my understanding, is something that's been now being used throughout the Energy Trust of Oregon's program. Beginning in 2013, Facility Services partnered with Energy Trust of Oregon to develop a strategic energy management program to track and manage energy usage in 10 buildings on a monthly basis and execute efficiency projects. You will hear about the success of this project. This program has helped us to meet the mayor's commitment to reduce energy usage in OMF-managed buildings by 2% on an annual basis and has supported broader citywide initiatives such as the City Green Policy and the Climate Action Plan. I'm excited not only about the great energy savings we are seeing through this program, but also the cultural shift that has taken place across our organization. This program has brought together the entire Facility Service Department by bringing energy efficiency to the forefront and providing them the tools needed to make educated decisions around energy usage. We have formed an energy team which includes managers, maintenance technicians, and energies, and engineers, and it has strong executive sponsorship. They meet on a regular basis to identify opportunities, presenting their results to the executive sponsorship on a quarterly basis. Through our current strategic energy management efforts, Facility Services has identified actions to reduce energy usage and generate savings to the city of over $140,000 over the last 18 months. I would like to personally thank all of the Facility Services staff and crew that has participated in the program and has committed to the success of this program. Without their effort, this success we have seen could not be accomplished. There are still, again, I wanted to reiterate, a lot more opportunities. We look forward to coming back to you to share more good news. With that, I will turn this over to Wendy Gibson, who is our Sustainable Operations and Maintenance Program Manager, to provide you more detail about the program.
Thanks, Brian. And thank you, Commissioners, for taking the time to help us celebrate in our accomplishments. I'd like to take a moment to show you a video that highlights some of the amazing work we've done with the Energy Trust of Oregon, and I'll start it now. So over the last 18 months, we've saved almost $140,000. It helps that Energy Trust is giving us a fairly sizable incentive, which is great, but it doesn't nearly compare to the savings that we're seeing or the cultural shift we're seeing in energy efficiency. The Portland Building and City Hall are both in the Strategic Energy Management Program. We have 46 buildings, and 10 of them are in the SEM program.
Strategic Energy Management has taken the energy operations of the city's facilities to a whole new level. The operations folks they've made the changes, they've seen the results, and we both now are able to communicate the benefits of that.
We have 14 amazing maintenance technicians that are basically boots on the ground making sure that each piece of equipment is acting as efficient as it can. So they were actually able to know that what they were doing made a difference. And I think maybe that's what started to change things.
If I can save some money, pay a little bit more on the front end, but get my payback in a year or two as a customer, if I was doing this for my house, that would make total sense. So if I just look at this as my house, but on a grander scale, I'm saving all kinds of money. So, and that's just one building. So I'm pretty stoked about it.
Maybe it's a filter change. Maybe it's insulating some piping. Maybe it's changing out lighting. They really feel empowered to start asking questions about energy efficiency, identifying energy efficiency ideas, and bringing them to us so that we can work together.
I was pleasantly surprised because I did not see the kind of the byproduct of this process in terms of gelling employees and managers. We want to build upon this.
We have an energy bill that's anywhere between $1.5 to $2 million. And if I can't tell the public I'm judiciously watching that money, then that doesn't make sense.
Investing in energy efficiency has proven to be a great return for the city over many years. The city also has some aggressive policy goals around reducing carbon emissions, transitioning to clean energy, and so those two things align perfectly. So to us, this kind of work brings all those things together. It's a really great opportunity.
You just watched was actually from last summer. The savings quoted in the video was when we participated in just 1 year in 2013. We're currently entering the third year of the program. We hope that in the third year of the program, we'll be able to see just the same amount of savings that we have in the past. So over the course of the 2+ years that we've been in the program, the accumulated savings for just the Strategic Energy Management Program is $345,000. So I'm sure you're asking, well, how can you see this without any capital major projects? And it's by fine-tuning our buildings. It's by staying up to date on our preventative maintenance program. It's by addressing areas of the buildings that were previously neglected that affected energy. It's also by creating a culture that recognizes the need to take into account energy efficiency from the technician's regular tasks. The Energy Trust Strategic Energy Management Program takes every organization through a series of workshops that help staff identify how to track energy, how to relay that information in a meaningful way, and provide feedback to an individual on their work. The next evolution in energy management is focusing not just on what facilities can do to save energy, but how organizations collaborate and prioritize energy management so that energy is not used when it's not needed operationally. SEM teaches industry best practices, organizing teams and aligning them with executive level support, and to host effective conversations about behavior around our energy use, its costs, and its impact to the environment and to our community. Small O&M efforts do take collaboration and cooperation and management level support. I'd like to equate the program to a familiar analogy. Capital improvements are like giving somebody a fish. Strategic energy management is like teaching them how to fish, except you not only get to teach them how to fish, you also teach them how to fillet the fish, cook the fish, and eat the fish before it goes bad. Unlike an efficient piece of new equipment that, if not well maintained, actually goes bad earlier than it should. So what has facilities learned? We've learned four main lessons. The first is that behavior change is hard. but by tracking energy use and being able to show how an individual's actions can actually change energy in a building, you get more buy-in. You need to be able to show individual their actions and how it changes the energy. By showing this, they are actually able and they are given an apple that they can feel and touch, except this apple is called energy. They see the change, they see the bite out of the apple. So without this amazing support and actions from our maintenance technicians, we can't see this. And I'd like to thank them right now for everything that they do to actually make this change. The second lesson we learned is that not every action is going to create energy change, but you don't know unless you try it and you track it. For instance, when I first came to the city, we performed a water audit on one of our buildings. We found a water source heat pump malfunctioning. It was flushing 6 gallons of water down the drain per minute. Left unchecked, this could have cost the city $30,000 per year. But with 15 maintenance technicians that cover over 200,000 square feet per technician, you can't expect them to find every piece of malfunctioning equipment. But by tracking energy usage, that's definitely something we can check on and start looking for solutions right away. The third lesson learned is that you definitely need management and support is necessary. In order to create change, it takes an entire organization. It's one thing to tell somebody to do something, but it's quite another to commit to an idea and actually change your own behavior. I would like to thank Facility Services Manager Bob Keita and our Bureau Director Brian Eng for recognizing an opportunity and believing in a program that Dave Tews from BPS brought to my attention. Without their support, this could not have been done. The fourth and final lesson that we've learned is that every little bit counts. We need support from you, our tenants. As Facility Services continues to redefine the way that we look at energy, we need tenants being willing to change their behavior as well. Think about how your actions and how your cubicle affect energy use. The actions you can take are simple. Think about what you do when you leave a room. Turn off the light. When you go home, turn off your computer. When you leave for the day, unplug your smartphone charger. And then, finally, think about whether or not you really need that mini fridge that's secretly stashed underneath your desk for your personal refrigerated items. Could you put them in the community refrigerator? In fact, if you have energy efficiency ideas, please bring them to our attention. We will work with you to see how we can get them implemented. In closing, I'd like to add that the City of Portland is not the only organization that is participating in the Energy Trust of Oregon's SEM program. There are both public and private organizations working together in cohorts throughout the state, facing the same challenges, but also exceeding the same results. In fact, Portland Public Parks and Multnomah County have just started on this wonderful adventure as well. I'd like to thank them for being here in the audience to show their support today. SEM has helped them start to put the structure in place, and now they will be able to achieve savings beyond the large investment the capital projects do. They need your support, too, in order to make a change. So next up, I'd like to introduce Peter West with the Energy Trust of Oregon, who is going to explain a little bit more about the program and present us with a check.
Yes, I have to apologize. It's not the right way to start a presentation, but it's spring, and I have that nasal drip that bedevils some of us. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thanks for having us. And of course, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure at the end of this to actually close it with a check. It's delightful. But the first things first, I'm going to talk a little bit about partnership today and a lot about teamwork, and I want to thank Wendy and Brent for the whole team that they bring forward. There is nothing Energy Trust does. There's absolutely nothing when I talk about our accomplishments that isn't in our accomplishments. We do this statewide, and we do this with partners, from homeowners to businesses. We do not screwdriver, we don't screw in the bulb. It's teams like this that help, you know, we bring the idea, and then you take it from there. And that's a wonderful thing. I'd like to also thank my team, Kathleen Bell Hyatt, Ed Wales, and Jay Ward here, and Jim Volkman and Skip Schick from the Strategic Energy Group. Of course, if PG and PacifiCorp and Northwest Natural representatives, I haven't seen them behind me, but if they're here, they're part of our partners as well. Energy Trust, we're a nonprofit born in 2003 to be a statewide purveyor of energy efficiency and renewable energy on homes, businesses, and industry. The idea was to, instead of having four programs around the state between Cascade Natural Gas, PGE, Northwest Natural, and PacifiCorp, have one and have a unified voice to be a trusted non-biased party to tell you how to do and what to do to lower your bill and to clean up your energy. Of course, our funders are those four utilities, and obviously you don't get here without doing it in partnership with them. Over the time I've been at Energy Trust, we have saved and generated the equivalent of one large power plant. Our goal over the next 10 years is to do the same. That one large power plant we helped avoid has saved people on bills a cumulative $1.7 billion to date. If we do nothing more, those savings will continue because those projects will continue. These savings will continue. Smart people will still be finding good things to do, even if we don't have a check, because they're dedicated public folks or dedicated to their industry. That'll grow to almost $4 billion. You take that and you cycle it around the economy because we're buying locally, not from Wyoming and Ontario and elsewhere. It becomes $3 billion to the Oregon economy. Oregon and the whole. It's a powerful, powerful statement. What we do is something fairly unique. With utilities, we go back to the customers. You buy power from the utility, but you're also the supplier to the utility. The power you supply back, we're getting at half the rate of building new facilities. You're forestalling building more power plants. You're forestalling a deeper CO2 footprint. These are powerful things, and this is why we do it together. But to you, I actually want to acknowledge we started one of our earliest programs with municipalities was when you ran for us. It was LED street lighting. And Dave Tews has a lot of history with this, and I get to acknowledge him twice, and it's great to see him here. In the 12 years we've been working with the City of Portland, from that project through to today, we've done 87 different efficiency and renewable projects with you. We've invested $2 million in what you've done, and you've invested, I believe, another $8 million, almost $9 million. And today, annually, you save 20 a million kilowatt hours a year, and 140,000 therms. If we do nothing anymore for the next 10 years, you're going to get another 200 million kilowatt hours of savings and another 1.4 million therms saved. It's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that has been taken off of the bill on behalf of the citizens of Portland. The facilities group, let me step back a minute. Why SEM? In 2009, we launched it when the economy tanked and businesses had no money, no capital, no anything. And we jumped in and borrowed from a thing called lean manufacturing. And that lean manufacturing principle is to embed this, embed it into what you're doing. And we have found that this principles of SEM apply to how you now look at capital expenditures for energy efficiency and renewable energy. What it does is create a culture of efficiency, that you continue to produce the savings, you continue to find the budgetary savings, not just the 1 or 2 years you've been doing here, but it extends on. It influences how you look at what you do. Why? Because it gives you the tools not just to pester your coworker, but to measure and analyze and verify what you have, to know what should be at the top of the list, what gives you the biggest bang for the buck. The other thing it does with that awareness and that technical ability, it creates what we call a cultural learning, and it is wonderful to work with an organization that has that ethic of culture of learning. You have institutional knowledge, and the strength to get there. So this particular project, it wasn't in the $20 million I was talking about. What you've done and what Wendy and Brent have led are savings of 1.3 million kilowatt hours, which is 9% reduction in the bills for the 10 buildings you looked at. So you looked at 10, and you got 9% reduction. That's strong, and that's just from doing the simple tools of awareness, modeling, measuring, and driving this forward a lot in behavior and a lot in maintenance, but it's very low cost. That $1.3 million, obviously it's a benefit to the rest of us, but it doesn't stop. Well, it does stop. It does stop if you're not persistent. It stops if you don't allocate the budget and the time for it. We have done a number of projects with, but here's the list of all the other folks we've been doing, a partial list of SEM, Strategic Energy Management, which each of these firms and municipalities from and counties, from Clackamas to Washington, Albany to Yoshida to, a whole host. You saw them all. They found that unless you dedicate an individual or individuals and empower them with a team and give them the time and the budget to go after these savings, the future dissipates and you can't stay on that path. So think about this. I know you're coming up on your budget, and that's my pitch. I did lobbying, so I have to do a pitch. But you can't. It's probably your biggest bang for the buck. Keeping that culture of efficiency, keeping that culture of learning going is a powerful thing. And we get there one step at a time, one step at a time. We're not going to get to our power plant unless you can get there with us. So on behalf of the Energy Trust, on behalf of Margie Harris and all of us here, I want to say thank you again and present you with this check for $26,546. This represents the value of the savings and the effort you've done on behalf of all of us as ratepayers in Oregon. And it's a token in some respects, but it's powerful in another, because what you've done is provide us a path to a cleaner and cheaper energy future. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you guys get the check. Well, you get the check.
Why don't you get up in front
of the camera? As we gather around the check.
I have like a reporter on there.
It's not fine over there.
I've already been told you can't have
that. Oh. Okay.
I'm good.
3, 2, 1. One more. 3, 2, 1. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of anticlimactic after the check has been presented, but does anyone have anything further to say on this item? This is a wonderful event. I mean, obviously, climate disruption is the greatest challenge that humanity has ever faced. But another huge challenge that we face at every level of government today is trying to preserve or restore trust in government, particularly trust in our ability to manage public money wisely. So to be able to say that we have managed public money wisely and we're saving money and we're reducing carbon emissions is just a phenomenal thing to be able to say. And I'm really appreciative of the Energy Trust and of everybody in facility services, in particular the maintenance technicians, and thanks for acknowledging them.
Do we have some of them here today?
John Tomlin is here representing everybody.
Curious, who did the video?
The Energy Trust of Oregon approached us due to our success to do the program, so they actually did the video.
Very well done.
I'm looking at my colleagues on my left here, and I remember when in the 2012-13 budget, we, under Mayor Adams, looked forward to this program saving 2% and spent the money in advance. And I can't remember what we actually spent it on. I'm wondering if anybody else can.
I can't remember either.
He probably spent it on art, didn't he?
Well, no, I don't think so. And I remember feeling very skeptical at the time that this was actually going to come to be. So it's very gratifying to see that, in fact, we have done better than 2% in electricity savings. Did most of our buildings run on electricity or gas?
The majority of the buildings that are currently in the program, so of the 46 that Facility Services owns and manages, only 10 of them are in the building. So the savings we're receiving right now is just from 10 of those buildings, and that has a lot to do with our capacity to be able to track. And most of that is electricity. It's not gas.
And so they're heated with electricity.
That's correct. Yeah, most of them.
Interesting.
One of you said that we need to disconnect our smartphone chargers.
Yeah.
So could someone amplify on that? Because I think my office may be one of the worst offenders on that. And I don't know that people even realize that keeping them plugged in is a problem. So
basically any piece of equipment that you have plugged in pulls a phantom load. And the phantom load is not a lot, but added up by the city or by the city of Portland, the greater large, you start adding up those numbers. So anytime you leave something plugged in, it does pull a load, although it may be small, which is why it's called a phantom load.
But do you recommend, for example, that everyone turn off their computers when they go home?
Yes, I do, and BTS will no longer say otherwise. We've talked to them, and so they used to promote keeping it on at night due to patches and updates.
Right.
And one of the things we did is we actually went through a process to look at whether or not there could be a PC management system put in place to kind of help people with that process. And what we found, actually, is that when we upgraded our computers a couple years ago, back in 2012 or something like that, we actually switched to much more efficient computers, and I believe just through that, we saw a savings of $60,000 or something. So BTS actually has worked well with us to be able to see that savings. And so now the best thing that we can do is just turn off our computers at night unless BTS tells us to leave them on overnight due to patches.
Well, I have a double incentive because every time I get a patch, it does something to my computer that I can't figure out. No disrespect to BTS. But turn off our computers, disconnect our chargers, because I think a lot of us didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know that, and I mine is connected. So disconnect that. Turn off the lights.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Basically, what I would do is just look around your cubicle and figure out whether or not there's energy usage there, right? So, you know, you have a monitor. You could turn off your monitor. Maybe you have an electronic photo display. Some people, you could turn that off at night, too, or unplug it at night as well if it doesn't disrupt the photos, things like that. Some people do actually have mini fridges underneath their desks. Those pull a lot of energy usage. So those types of things. Heaters, if you do have them, you could unplug them. Hopefully you don't. Fans, things like that.
Hey, that's terrific. I don't think anyone has a mini fridge in my office, but we'll certainly inventory that. Thank you for an excellent presentation.
Well, colleagues, I noticed that the electricity savings is actually 8.9%, which is 4 times the savings that we were hoping to get, and that money is already spent, but that then goes to 1.3 million kilowatt hours. So how much money does that translate into, and can I spend that too, please?
That's the problem with the savings, is you don't actually ever see that money. You just never use it. So it's never budgeted.
Well, it must be in somebody's budget prospectively, right?
Yeah, so as the budgeting process works, right, we actually do kind of plan through the budgeting process on the amount of energy that we use. And so what we do is, like, as that number starts to go down, we factor that in over a 3-year basis for your rates, your tenant rates. So your rates would either stay the same or go down.
That actually gets distributed back to the bureaus that pay overhead.
Right, as basically the energy utility bill goes down, we don't increase, or we would factor that into your rate.
Right.
So, Commissioner, what you'll see in this year's decision package from the Internal Business Services is a request to fund on a permanent basis, and that's what we're talking about, have a dedicated resource and the persistence, is to fund a full-time position, and we would reallocate. So as part of the project, the budget process, we're reallocating the savings to fund this new position on a permanent basis. Heretofore, it's been a pilot program, and so we've been using other ways to fund this position. But now what we're going to do, we need to carry this forward and make it a formal program within Facility Services.
And would that enable you to include more buildings in the program?
Absolutely. I think that as capacity continues, we could continue to include more programs. What we're looking at is not just energy management, strategic energy management, but strategic resource management. So eventually we'd like to include things like water, which is the example that I cited.
You read my mind. So when you have some breathing room, let's talk water, because, you know, we've now moved to paperless monthly billing,
right?
And that's an option. I have this dream that someday it'll actually also tell you, for example, if your consumption goes up by a certain amount, there'll be a flag and a possible warning that, you know, look for a leak or, you know, whatever. Or even perhaps on the positive side of the ledger, acknowledge that your consumption is down and what the savings is as a way of actually driving home the conservation message. But we should be able to do a lot of things if we have electronic communication.
It's all about knowledge. You have to provide people with the knowledge and the information in order to get them to make the change, right?
And if you
Which
don't provide historical context, I mean, I get my monthly bill, and, you know, compared to what? I have to actually go on the website to see what my last bill was to then say, am I above or below, or, you know, is there? And I think over time, we're going to have the technology allows us to send positive message, warning flags, and drive home our conservation messages. Of course, only in the water business does conservation work against ratepayers' interests
right.
in terms of costs. That's the irony of my business is if we're really successful, we'll be driving up your rates because we're a fixed cost system, but we'll be meeting other goals.
Right, and what we're doing is we're looking at resources as both natural and man-made. So things like trash, how do we reduce the amount of trash? In fact, we did a materials management assessment a couple years ago on City Hall, and it basically came back saying that if City Hall wanted to, they could be a zero-waste building, right? It's just about the behavior in the building. So a lot of it has to do with how tenants relate to a building.
It kind of reminds me, why did we recently switch our compost bins from paper and food waste to food waste only, and is it a good thing?
Well, I would let the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability talk about that.
Is that them?
Yeah, they're the ones that do that.
Okay, we can talk afterwards.
There's a whole lot more trash going in the trash.
Yeah.
It does, yeah, which is why the best thing to do is just use reusables.
Yeah. And talking
just
about
Commissioner Fish, there's a nice nexus between saving water and saving energy. We have actually worked with the Water Bureau on distributing low flow showerheads and aerators. The less hot water you use, the more energy savings you have. Less water, less hot water. There's a nice nexus between those two of those. So as you, perhaps we can get on your app as you move forward in your electronic communication.
You know, we've got miles to travel, so we're going to look forward to sitting down with you. And we'll have two new leaders of the utility starting this fall, so a kind of a chance to start fresh and think about these things. Mm-hmm. I think about 6 months ago we came to council with an idea that is pretty neat, where some company approached us and said they wanted to run turbines through our water system to generate electricity. And why not? So we have the water flow, and they use it, they divert, they change the pipe and generate electricity, and then that goes back into the grid. And you start thinking about those ideas and how they could grow exponentially. So we look forward to having those conversations.
Great. Thank you.
Have you sent a copy of this report to former Mayor Sam Adams in his new role in Washington, D.C.?
No, we have not.
Would you please do that? Because I think since he instigated this program, I, for one, need to say you were right, because I didn't think it was going to happen. But I think he'll be very glad to know and have a real-life demonstration that he can then share with other cities that this is cost-effective. It actually works out better. And you know, some of the services, as you just mentioned, about lower hot water bills and such, but LED lights are not only more cost-effective and energy efficient, they actually light better. So I think he'd be very glad to know that this is such a success. And thank you for all of the work that you've all done.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Yeah, we're going to San Francisco.